1 year ago, as we were starting to get into the Corona hoax doom and everything was starting to kind of shape up how they were hoping to make this this new Great Reset World Order, whatever you want to call it. And people were kind of like, all right, 2 weeks to slow the spread. And everybody was sitting at home chomping on their Doritos and watching Amazon and giving these streaming companies record profits, except Apple TV, because nobody likes Apple TV. There was this news story about this guy in Minneapolis named George Floyd and how he had a knee on his neck and how he had died. And I've never watched the video to this day. I don't need to see that nonsense. The nonsense of people dying on air, right? That's something I've seen enough of them that I don't need to see another one. But in the wake of the death of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, which had been established during the Trayvon Martin trial, I believe. It was either Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown, one of those two. I think it was Trayvon Martin. Came on the scene. And the only reason they came on the scene is because corporations went into ludicrous speed of wokeness. They all started putting black squares on their profiles and Black Lives Matter, and the NBA just went retarded and was like, ah, everything Black Lives Matter now. And it continued to increase this antagonist attitude towards people who did not believe the hype, if you will, in regards to Black Lives Mattering. You were a racist. I lost friends, I lost colleagues, and others when you questioned Black Lives Matter, which is fine, whatever. But then there was the woke corporations ascending and the push for black-owned businesses and all these other things. It's like, well, if their product sucks, I'm not going to buy from them, whether they're black or white. But then, of course, that means you're a racist. And then we also saw the rise of the defunding of the police departments, which if you've listened to the Bear Brief at any length of time, you know I'm not a Blue Lives Matter sycophant, right? There are good police officers out there, but then again, there's a lot of female police officers out there. And spoiler warning, if this is the first time you're listening to the show, Mitter Barrett does not like female police officers. Not because I hate them personally. I just think the idea of putting women who are gifted the ability by God to give life, to put them in a flak jacket and send them into drug-ridden neighborhoods or try to get them to take down men that are three times their size, I just think that's bad policy. Of course, these police, these blue line wall of silence types, these girls could whoop your butt, blah, blah, blah. Dude, the only reason these girls could quote-unquote whip my butt is because they have the power of the state behind them. And you guys will eventually step in and start beating me up as well once the tide turns. But the fact is, you need some kind of line. I don't know if it's a thin blue line, but some kind of way to enforce the norms of society. Obviously, peace officers, police officers are necessities. Not to the extent that they are now. And the fact that they put on a uniform doesn't make them a superhero or any of these other things. But this article from Derek Hunter at townhall.com, who didn't see this coming? Of course, Derek Hunter doesn't see the fact. I'm going to talk about John Cena because it's a topical conversation. It's a one-day news cycle. I'll talk about John Cena and his capitulation to the Chinese. Oh, no. We heard it here.
Keep calling this the Chinese virus. Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? Virus. Why do you keep calling this the Chinese? Why do you keep calling this the Chinese? Why do you keep calling this?
Let's get down, folks.
It's not racist at all. No, not at all. It comes from China. China. It comes from China. China.
So anyway, we're going to talk about the fact that John Cena absolutely capitulated to the Chinese in regards to Fast and Furious 9, which is already open over there. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk that towards the end. But Derek Hunter does understand that the studio is making John Cena apologize. Why would he apologize? He doesn't have to. Dude, Fast and Furious 9 already made $135 million in China from 1 week. Okay? The studio's going to make him apologize. Because they desperate to make money back on this film. It's a billion-dollar franchise they're trying to make. And that's the way they're going to do it. But anyway, Derek Hunter does have a good article here. Who saw this coming? The headline in the New York Times tells everything you need to know about this progressive mindset. A year after George Floyd, pressure to add police amid rising crime. Who didn't know that demonetizing police, cutting their funding, making it clear as day that city's political leaders not only won't defend them, but will actively throw them to the mob without any due process considerations, might lead a problems for a city. Turns out pretty much every left-wing activist in the country. Worse, most of them don't care. No, they don't want to care. Hunter, Derek, that's the plan. That's the plan, my man. Bruh. The plan is to plunge everything into chaos. Because that's what they want. That's what they want. They want chaos. They want all this stuff upended. Let's get back into the article. And, of course, this is also another reason why gun sales have skyrocketed through the roof, leading us to not being able to buy ammo. By the way, I'm going to have to talk about this on Gun Talk Friday. I just saw a video of a guy using the Beretta 1301 combat shotgun. I might have to go get a second job because I really want that gun. I really want that Beretta 1301. It's $1,500. But it is a sweet, sweet semi-automatic shotgun. Oh, man. And I love Berettas anyway. If you were at the Crusader Congress, you know I do, because I was carrying my Beretta PX4 around with me, open carry. By the way, this segment of the program is brought to you by the Crusader Congress video, which you can get at MikeChurch.com/shop. You won't... Well, actually, when you see me do my amazing award-winning... It actually won all the awards in Gerbil Weekly as the greatest speech ever given on solar power. You can check it out. You'll see me with my Beretta PX4 on my hip at the Crusader Congress at MikeChurch.com/shop. Get your copy of the Crusader Congress video today so you can catch up and know what we're talking about, especially if you're new to the show and to the program. But that's another reason why gun sales have gone up, because crime is up, as he writes, especially violent crime in Democrat-run cities where the defund the police movement has found a receptive audience.
Remember, it's not a crime problem. It's a gun problem.
That's right. As Jen Psaki has said, it's community violence. That's called crime, lady. that's usually called crime. just to, you know. I can't afford a Benelli M4. I can't afford a Beretta 1301 after about 6 months of work. A Benelli M4 is a little bit more expensive than that. So, but plus, I'm kind of a Beretta guy. I love Rugers and Berettas. Those are my guns. The guns I use. I like all guns, but Berettas and Rugers are kind of like my wheelhouse. But crime is up, especially violent crime in Democratic-run cities where defund the police movement has found a receptive audience. Now, the Times is reporting the surge is prompting cities whose leaders embraced the values of the movement last year to reassess how far they are willing to go to reimagine public safety and divert money away from the police towards social services. Because when you have a hostage situation, you know you want the community service officers. They were all looking like Queen Latifah, or come out looking like Melissa McCarthy.
We need you guys to stop it.
Okay, yeah, yell at them like you're their mom. That'll work. You can, yeah, no. It's hard to care, honestly. Derek grew up in Detroit, once the economic hub of the country, destroyed through generational control by Democrats. John Koyners represents the city in Congress for 52 years, over which the time his district has deteriorated to the point that sections of it resemble a third world country. So why did the residents of Detroit give the party that orchestrated their demise unbroken power since 1962? Because they've been conditioned to think the alternative is worse. Also, let's be real. Republicans, because it's a feckless, useless party, have given up on cities. They just gave up on cities. They're like, yeah, you can have it. Whatever. We don't want to talk to black people. We don't think black people agree with our ideas. Which is stupid. If you actually talk to an average black person, I hate to even say it like that, and you get past any of the Democratic nonsense or the racial talking points, most of them are pretty conservative in the ideas of family and all, and they just want a fair shake. Now they've been given they're being led by charlatans like, you know, Sean King, who's not black, Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. But that's their issue. Anyway, cities like L.A. began refunding the police, the Times is concerned. Also in Seattle, I think 260 police officers have fled either Portland or Seattle, one of those West Coast cities. I believe it's Seattle, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's Portland. I honestly just passed on it on Twitter because it doesn't shock me. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, look at that. Police officers are fleeing these cities run by Democrats that Antifa controls. What a shock. The part of the problem, Derek writes, the part of the political class doesn't have the underwear content to truly tackle the activist class, i.e. Black Lives Matter. They know how to chant, they know how to emotionally manipulate a swath of the public, but they have no concern about the consequences. Because it never affects them. People really have to start realizing, and some do, that politicians don't care what happens to you. They show up every 2 or 4 years, they tell you what they think, and then they leave.